On my lips, O Lord, that I may faithfully proclaim your holy word, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Do we have to eat this again? Such is the complaint of young children as they complain what their mother served them for supper. I don't know whether you ever complained to your parents about the supper menu, but I certainly did. Boiled potatoes and stewed tomatoes were not my favorite. I know your mother probably cooked that number better than mine did, but be that as it may. What children and sometimes adults don't realize is that we need a variety of good, healthy food in our diet, some of which will never, I repeat, never taste good to us. You just eat it because it's good for you. We have to eat the good things for the sake of our health, not because we like them. In Proverbs 6, 20 through 35, we have a repeated warning of the dangers of sin and the folly of living against God's commandment and word. Specifically, we have a warning in Proverbs 6 about the dangers of sexual immorality. This isn't the first time Solomon gave this warning, and it won't be the last. Hopefully you're saying, oh no, not this again. Well, as I said a couple weeks ago, strap in your seatbelt, guys. It may be a bumpy ride. But let us hear this warning of God's word, knowing that God in his wisdom and his mercy is giving us this warning. So my first point is, God commands us. Proverbs 6, 20 through 35 is another warning against the sin of adultery. The sin of having a sexual relationship with someone you're not married to. The form of this section is basically instructional, but with considerable variation from previous passages. Solomon uses a few word pictures as illustrations to heighten the urgency of his warnings. What God commands us to hold fast to is his word, to pay attention to it, and the teachings of his holy word. We're told to bind them around our hands and forehead. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23 says this, "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and reproofs for discipline are the way of life." You will find Orthodox Jews who take this commandment literally as they wear a small copy of the law rolled up in a tight scroll on their hands and on their forehead. These verses harken back to Deuteronomy 6, 8, which commands Old Testament believers to bind God's law and commandments on their hands and forehead. The law of God provides a clear moral framework for his revelation, showing his people Israel and his New Testament church the proper response to living in union with God's word and his covenant relationship with his bride, the Old Testament people of God and the New Testament church. Wisdom works within this framework to describe the bounds of human responsibility towards God. The law forbids adultery and prescribes a penalty for it. God, in his wisdom and gracious love, shares this opposition to adultery and adds its own warnings about the inevitable consequences that such folly brings. Proverbs 6:23 borrows this image from Psalm 119:105, which says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The wise person accepts the revealed will of God and examines nature and the experiences of life in dependence, in utter dependence upon the word of the Lord. Not make it up as you go, whatever's in your flat head. Let us then listen to the counsel of God's word and the consistent teaching of the church for the past 2,000 years instead of what the knuckleheads of the last 20 years have told us. They're making it up out of their own imagination. And I'd much rather hear the teaching of God's word and the consistent teaching of his holy church, what Christians have always believed at all times, everywhere, than the imaginations of people's hearts. Let their advice be damned and let us follow the word of God. Amen. The wise person accepts the word of God and heeds God's warnings and reflects on it and begs for God's mercy, that his sins may be forgiven and that his heart would be brought into greater conformity to God's word and commandment. Wisdom requires us not to give a passing nod to the teaching of God's word, but to let it dominate our actions and our priorities. Later on in the New Testament, James writes this in his epistle: "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." To be doers of the word, we must look intently into God's word and be committed to doing it, obeying what God, out of his love for us and his gracious mercy, has commanded us to do. So just don't give it a passing nod. Let your life be dominated by it. God in his mercy has given us his word. Let's not ignore it. Otherwise, we're playing the part of the fool. And God doesn't want us to be foolish. He wants us to be wise. James is writing about the practicality of saving faith in Jesus Christ and is mirroring the same message that the writer of Proverbs tells us, that we bind the teaching of God's word on our heart and tie them around our neck, that they would guide and guard our steps in walking in the fear of the Lord. So God commands us. Secondly, God warns us. The Lord warns us of the dangers of disobeying his law, which is an expression of his holy character meant for our good and well-being. God uses illustrations to remind us of the utter folly of thinking we will be okay if we disobey flagrantly the commands of the Lord. He gives us this warning about the adulterous woman in Proverbs 6, 24 to 26. "To keep you from the evil woman and from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her capture you with her eyelids. For an account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. An adulteress hunts for the precious life." The evil woman, the adulteress, uses the tools of deception, flattery, and seduction to lure a man into a sexual relationship with her. A man who lets down his guard and succumbs to his sinful passions will utterly destroy himself. And the writer of the Proverbs reminds us that if we yield to the sinful passions of the flesh, we are reducing ourselves to a loaf of bread. The figurative expression shows us the utter folly of just viewing people from their outward beauty and forgetting the promises you made before Almighty God. If you're married, to keep yourself only unto him or her. So don't reduce yourself like a fool to a loaf of bread. As God's crowning point of creation, we are made in God's image with a body and a soul. We are God's precious creatures, the pinnacle of God's creation. But we cheapen ourselves when we view ourselves only from outward appearance and temporary desire. Stop acting like you're a piece of meat and a loaf of bread. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Solomon warns us that engaging in sexual immorality, this brings great damage to both body and soul. Consorting with a prostitute is self-destructive, but adultery is just as damaging, if not more damaging. For adultery is not only a violation of marriage, but a direct attack on it. Adultery is a direct attack on marriage, for in being unfaithful to one's spouse, we violate the promises we made to them to keep ourselves only unto them as long as we shall live. Further, we are given these practical illustrations in Proverbs 6, 27 to 29, which again warn us of the folly of giving in to sexual immorality. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Solomon draws upon these illustrations from the natural realm and appeals to common sense. Do you really think you're going to take fire and hold it to your breast and not get burned? You idiot if you think that. You know it's going to burn you. You walk on hot coals, you're going to get burned feet. Don't play the fool, is what Solomon is telling us. With compassion, with mercy, but also with sincere warning. The analogy that Solomon uses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is making this precise point, that one will be burned. There are no exceptions. Any sin can be repented of, but it must be repented of. And the lustful desire of the heart is the start of the progression of our folly. There is a definite connection between the lustful desire which is entertained and the act of adultery itself, which Jesus himself told us about in Matthew 5, 28, where he says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." If he moves forward and acts on this desire, it is like walking on coals. The person who does so brings great damage on his soul. But Jesus is warning us that there's an adultery of the heart and there's the full-orbed adultery. The one may yield to the other, but even if it doesn't, you're beginning to sink into the quicksand if you even let it entertain yourself in your mind and heart. So cut off the foolishness at the beginning, and you'll never get to that point if you cut it off in your heart. Proverbs 6:32 through 35 closes with these words. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give many gifts. It is here that we come face to face with the temporal, physical punishment that an adulterer may face because of his sinful and reckless behavior. The offended husband's jealousy can turn to rage, fury, and a merciless revenge that no offer of compensation can change. That's one of the natural consequences of our sin. God will judge it, but guess what, guys? You fool around and you may get the wrath of that offended husband as well. Solomon is urging us not to go that way. Don't be the fool. Be faithful to your spouse and her only. To think about the outcome of our behavior, for nothing is hid from God's sight. And even our behavior done in private at times becomes public and comes around to bite us. The wise person will take heed and will not fall into this trap of the fool and foolish actions. In closing, let me offer this word of pastoral encouragement. If you are a married man or woman and you have been faithful to your spouse, I commend you for doing so, for following the wisdom of God's word and commandment. And I urge you, keep up the good work. If you have not been faithful to your spouse, whether full-blown adultery or adultery of the heart, flee to the God of hope and forgiveness. Come to the foot of the cross of Jesus who died for sinners like you and me, and you will find rest for your souls and forgiveness. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. There is room at the cross for us, but we must pursue repentance and a better mind. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, help us by the grace of your Holy Spirit to hear and obey your instruction given to us in the Proverbs and to heed its warnings. These things we beg through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Amen.